Good morning, good morning. Orizel here from Time to Shine. So today we're going to continue our study in the book of Micah, and we are Micah chapter 5. So I'm going to read it through, and then I'm going to share a few points about this chapter, about the prophecy and everything that was fulfilled or will be fulfilled in the millennial time and so on. So here we go. It says, verse 1. Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. And a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So we have a lot of things to unpack here. First of all, Bethlehem in verse 2, where it says Bethlehem Ephrathah. So Bethlehem was the birthplace of David and, as we know, of Jesus. And so Bethlehem means house of bread. And also, as we may know, Jesus called himself, or he is, the bread of life. And we can find that, let's see, John 6:35. Let's get there. John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So as we know, Jesus is the bread of life. He is our sustenance for a spiritual life. He is the one that we can go to be satisfied in a spiritual being, in a spiritual being, yeah, in a spiritual life. And also, when we have Jesus, he guides us to produce that bread that we need physically. But he satisfied our spiritual lives, and he's the bread of life, as it says there. And so, also, in Bethlehem, the Lord, in Matthew 5:6, in Matthew 5:2 says, it talks about when King Herod wanted to find out about the Jesus, the birth of Jesus, or when he wanted to find out when he was about the Messiah, where he was coming from. And they told him that it was said in the prophet Micah. Micah prophesies about Jesus, the Messiah, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And we find that in Matthew 2:5-6, where it says, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So, as we can see, it was prophesied by Micah that Jesus was going to come from Bethlehem, the King of Glory, and the Bread of Life. Jesus is also the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And so we're also going to see Revelation 22:13. But before we go there, it's on verse 2 where he says, "He's going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." So here we can see in Revelation 22:13 where it says that about Jesus, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. So it goes like this on verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So Jesus is the way, the truth and life, the bread of life, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Jesus completes everything of a king, of a savior, of a God, of everything. He is compiled all in him. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the sheep. He's the sheep. He's a pastor, the shepherd of the sheep. He guides us. He gives us hope. He restores us. So Jesus is everything. And most of the people would think that out of Bethlehem, they were surprised when Jesus came from there. Because as it says, it was the smallest clan of Judah. And or too little to be among the clans of Judah, as it says in verse 2. And they were so astonished that something big, someone that had a lot of power, or the king of the world, would come from there, for it was a minor city. Let's see where we at. John 17:5. Let's go there. John 17:5. It says, just a moment here. 17:5. It says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." And that is, I wanted to point that out, because that is when Jesus, in verse, let's go here to Micah, where Jesus says, or where Micah says, I'm sorry, where Micah says in the last part of verse 2, it says, "He brings forth from long ago, from the days of eternity." So Jesus was before the foundations of the world, as we just read in John 17:5. And he was before the Father, before the world began. And he had glory then. So imagine if he had glory then, how much glory will he have now that he is a risen king, a savior? He completed the task that was ordained for him to fulfill. He was strong enough. He was God himself, actually, and men also. But he fulfilled the prophecies. He fulfilled the plan of the Father. And so he was the king before the earth started, and he is the king still now, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm also going to read to you John 17:24. It says, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." So Jesus wants us to see his glory. He wants us to be next to him, or be with him, in his glory, in the new place that he has gone to prepare for his children. And he wants us to be with him in that place. And so let's continue on verse 3. It says, "Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will rise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because of at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth." In verse 5 it says, "This one will be our peace when the Assyrians invades our land. When he trembles on the citadels, then he will rise against him, seven shepherds and eight leaders of men." So here it says in verse 5, "This one will be our peace." excuse me, as we know, Jesus is peace. He brings peace, he brings hope, he brings life to the person who accepts him, who wants to live for him. And so let's continue on verse 6, as it says, they will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod at its entrances, and he will deliver us from the Assyrian when he attacks our land and when he tramples our territory. So many pagan nations would set against the people of Israel. But God says, and he would deliver us from the Assyrian when he attacks our land and when he trembles our territory. So God was going to bring partially this, well, he brought the Assyrians, right? But then this is not complete until, let's see, the Great Tribulation, I believe. I'm not sure about that, but let's continue. So it will be verse 7. Then the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on vegetation, which do not wait for men or delay for the sons of men. The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, among many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, which, if he passes through, tramples down and tears, and there is none to rescue. Your hand will be lifted up against your adversaries, and your enemies will be cut off. It will be in that day, declares the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from among you and destroy your chariots. I will also cut off the cities of your land and tear down all your fortifications. And I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you will have fortune tellers no more. I will cut off your carved images and your sacred pillars from among you, so that you will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. I will root out your Asherim from among you and destroy your cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and wrath on the nations we have not yet obeyed. So from verse 7 to 15, we see a lot will happen. So basically, the Lord will destroy all the handmade kings, or not kings, other handmade idols that the people have made. And also the sacred pillars he will destroy, he will bring down. Also the nations who do not know God, who did not follow God in the before he comes and governs in the new millennium, they will have to obey him. As we know, it says, I'm not sure, I don't know exactly the verse where it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So at that time in the new millennium, or when the Lord will reign, the nations, as it says in verse 15, the nations which have not obeyed, and says, I'm sorry, I'm going to read before that. It says, and I will execute vengeance in anger and wrath on the nations which had not obeyed. So they have to obey the Lord. They will be judged by many things that it will come to them. And so let's just leave it there. But the main point in this chapter, what I can apply or what I can see from what we read on verse 2, is that no, there's no small city, there's no small town, there's no small country where the Lord cannot bring somebody that can be successful. And we can see it from people that have gone through a poverty and have succeeded in life. I'm going to read some names of people who lived in poverty, but yet now they are one of the famous people around the world, and they have been known throughout this age. And so their Lord can bring someone, as I mentioned, can bring anyone out of poverty, no matter where they come from. So here are the names. So Abraham Lincoln came from poverty, and as we know, he was a great president of the U.S., and he did a lot of good things, and so he came out of poverty, but he was a good man. And then we have other famous actors such as Sarah Jessica Parker, Demi Moore, Jim Carrey, and the writer of it's not a Harry Potter I guess book or series, J.K. Rowling. And so these people came out of poverty and they're well known now. So it doesn't matter if you come from a poor nation, from a poor town, from a poor city that is not well known, or you feel you're not gonna make it, God can bring the best out of you. When you surrender to Him, when you allow Him to work in your life, when you allow Him to fulfill your purpose in this world. So there's no small place to live on this earth where God cannot manifest Himself on people who will do great things. So I'll leave it there for today. I hope you have some time over to read Micah chapter 5 to see what the Lord instructs you, teaches you, and counsels you with, as it says in Psalm 32:8. Have a wonderful Monday. Stay encouraged. Stay uplifted. Bye-bye.